would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Tonight, we're continuing our series on the theme, I Choose. And the choices that you make in life, they will determine the course of your life. You are tonight the total summation of the choices you have made in life. And that's why I've chosen to speak on prayer. I want to get God involved in every decision of my life. I tell that a lot to young people. Get God involved. See, if you will seek the Lord, you will find the Lord. And when you find the Lord, you will find direction. And prayer is one of the most untapped resources that are available to mankind. But tonight, this is I Choose Prayer Part 3. And I've been talking about laws of prayer, and I want to talk about the law of knowledge tonight. Your knowledge of God will determine your faith level, and your faith level will determine the answers you get from God, because God is a faith God, and faith is the currency of heaven. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the anointed singing and your presence here tonight. Oh, God, you want to raise up an army. And, Lord, I just thank you for your word. It's living. It's powerful. It brings life. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings joy. It brings peace. You're a great God. And all those attributes, Lord, they just describe you. Hallelujah. And we praise you. Open our ears. Let me preach with the anointing of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. There are laws that regulate the world of prayer. I'm going to list those once again, if you would put those up there. First of all, there's the law of humility. Secondly, there's the law of faith. Then there is the law of knowledge. And there's a law of confession. I haven't decided how I'm going to do that one yet. I may talk about the things I will not confess, or I may talk about the things I will confess. But that what you are, what you believe in your heart, and what you say. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you got to get your faith and what you believe in your heart lined up with your jawbone, okay? Then there's number five, the law of persistence. Sometimes you just can't pray once. You got to persist in prayer. Keep on praying. I've learned these laws through the world of prayer. And I've learned the persistence that it just keeps, if you keep going, you'll get there. That fort, I started last November, and I was just persistent. And guess what? I turned the air on, and I turned the water on, and we're going to occupy that thing. But there are laws of prayer, and they regulate the world of prayer. And I told Sister Dorothy, she's trying to start a business. I said, don't quit. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and she smiled, said, I'm working on it. And she'll get there. Just don't quit. Don't ever let a quitting spirit get on you. Let God's spirit get on you. And God's an encourager. But I've already spoken on the law of humility and the law of faith. And so tonight we've come to the third law, the law of knowledge. I preached a sermon series on knowing God earlier this year. And I'm going to rehash some of those truths. I used some of those principles in at the camp meeting when I led prayer one evening, and the power of God was awesome in there. And I believe God is just going to back up the word that I preach tonight with his presence and deliverance. If you want to live in victory, you must think victory. You must believe in victory, and you must confess victory. You are what God said you are, and you can do what God said you can do. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, he did it for you. He died that you may live. He was made sin so you could be made the righteousness of God in him. He became weak so you could become strong. He suffered shame to give you his glory. He was condemned so you might be justified. He bore your sickness so you could be healed. He was cast from the Father's presence so you and I could be welcomed there. You are identified with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his life, his righteousness, his nature, his strength, his glory, his power, his peace, his joy, his love, and his inheritance. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and everything that God has belongs to you in the name of Jesus. But guess what? You're in a covenant relationship, and a lot of people don't understand this. Everything that you have belongs to God. And that's the thing about the covenant. If you ever get that straight, that I'm God's, my body belongs to him, my spirit belongs to him, my money belongs to him, my family belongs to him, my life belongs to him. Whatever he has belongs to me, and I belong to him. And when you make that total submission like that, then you'll begin to walk with God in a dimension you've never known before. But you have victory. And the secret to victory is acting fearlessly on the word of God and boldly confessing that you are who God said you are. Faith has to be in your heart, but you got to get it in your mouth. I'll keep saying that. God says, I thought it was very interesting. Hosea 4 and 6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So God cannot bless ignorance. God is an intelligent being. But look at the latter part of Daniel 11:32. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know God, you will be destroyed by the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life and have more abundance. So what do you want? Look at this. Daniel 11:32 says, but they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. So the antidote for ignorance is to get to know God, the word of God. Hallelujah. Look at this. See, God is an intelligent being, and God cannot bless ignorance, and you cannot pray effectively if you're ignorant of what God's word has to say. You cannot have faith for a miracle if you do not know God. It's just an impossibility. Now, you might get a miracle because God sends somebody else to pray for you, but if you're going to get a miracle on your faith, you're going to have to know God. If you're going to live in the victory that God has purposed for your life, you're going to have to know God, and you're going to have to know him better. Paul said, oh, that I may know him. He said, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection, at least by being made conformable unto his death. He said, I'm crucified with him. I died, but he's living in me. He said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's how you get to know God. At the end of Paul's journey, he writes the last letter, 2 Timothy, he said, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So as you get to know God, you will know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You will know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, if you will pray, if you will apply biblical principles, God will lift up a standard against him. But you've got to believe it in your heart, and you've got to confess it with your mouth. And if you don't, guess what? The devil will beat you going and coming, and I can promise you that. Your faith will never rise above your knowledge of God. That's why the Bible commands us. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You've got to know the word of truth. You've got to understand it. You have to have a knowledge so that just like Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not have the narrative. He didn't know that the devil had gone up before the throne of God and God let the hedge down and God gave the devil permission to touch him. He said, you can't take his life. And so he's out there thinking that God did all this. No, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not the devil's nature to do good, and it's not God's nature to do bad. God is a God of love. And when you understand God like that, it'll cause your faith to rise. He's your Father. He infinitely cares for you. He cares about everything that touches your life. And there are problems in life. There's a devil. And so you got to suit up and be ready to fight the battles of life. But you've got to know that God is good and the devil is bad. All of your problems come from one source, the devil. And sometimes we cause our own, but the devil, he blindsides us. And we do things we shouldn't do. If you will do what God says, goodness and mercy will follow you. They'll hunt you down. You believe that? Amen. Now look at this right here, Joshua 1 and 8. It's the Old Testament. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. Now look at these promises. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. When? When you do You meditate, you get knowledge, and you begin to do it. You observe it, and you do it. And when you observe it, and you do it, guess what? Goodness and mercy, God's blessings. God is a blessing God. Say it with me. God is a blessing God. God is a good God. And if you will obey God, even though there's a devil, if you use your faith, you'll win the battles of life and come forth more than a conqueror. That's what Jesus did. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to know God, then if you want the blessings of God, then you've got to know God. Look at this one. I love this. David, Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, you can't sin and win. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. There's that word meditate again. It means to muse. It means to say it over and over and over. It means to feed yourself the word of God. As you feed your faith, you're starving your doubts to death. Your faith is rising. And then when you put it in what's in your heart, in your mouth, things start changing, not only in the spirit world, but in the natural world. Hallelujah. So the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. I love this. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything you do, that's a devil, but everything you're to do, there's a law called Romans 8:28. God said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. To those, say it backwards, to those that love God and are called and living according to his purpose, we know that all things work together for good. So some people, everything's not working for their good because they're not loving God and they're not living according to his will and according to his purpose. They can't claim that. But if you're the blessed man that meditates day and night, if you live in a doer of the word, even when the devil comes in, God said, I'll lift up a standard against him. God said, you don't even have to fight this battle. All you got to do is stand and see my salvation. Glory. Go on, praise him. That streak of glory hit somebody right there. Yeah. Sometimes you don't have to fight it. God will fight it for you. But you got to meditate and you got to get your heart full of the word of God. And then when you pray, guess what? You'll be praying the word. When you speak, you'll be speaking the word. And when you start doing that, you're putting spiritual forces into the atmosphere. You're casting down imaginations, high thoughts, demon powers, and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now, the blessed man knows God. He obeys God. And whatever he does prospers because God is a good God. There are laws that regulate the world of prayer. And the law of knowledge, it is one of those laws. Now, the prophets of Baal, they prayed for fire on Mount Carmel, and they got none. They prayed in ignorance. They prayed in vain. They cut themselves. They prayed from the morning until the evening sacrifice, and they got nothing. They were praying to dead gods. They didn't get a thing. Elijah mocked them. Then Elijah prayed to his God, and he prayed a 63-word prayer. And the fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. Elijah prayed with knowledge. He prayed with power. He prayed with faith. And God answered his prayer. Now, that's powerful right there. He called fire down from heaven. Amen. He called the rain down also. He was a powerful prophet of God. Now, during the Babylonian Empire, the soothsayers and the magicians, they knew the limitations of their God. See, there are all kinds of gods in this world. They were praying to dead gods. And they even told the king, said, if you don't tell us the dream, nobody, there's not anyone that could interpret that dream. You've got to tell us the dream so we can tell you the meaning thereof. But Daniel knew his God. He served the true and the living God. And he knew the God of heaven. He prayed with knowledge. He prayed with power. He prayed with faith. And he was able to tell the king his dream and the interpretation thereof. One thing I noticed about Daniel, though, he went in to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, I want you to pray with me. I need somebody to help me in this prayer. And so he didn't do it alone. He got corporate anointing. So many people, they miss the fact that there's a corporate anointing. God never meant for you to fight all your battles alone. We're a body. And your faith may be the thing that God uses to give somebody else their victory. And so when you have that need, God will send you your victory. Amen? So a person's knowledge of God, it will determine the depth of their prayers. You cannot pray winning prayers unless you have a knowledge of God. And the greater your knowledge of God, you know, the greater your prayer life will be. The more power will be associated with your prayers. The more victory you will walk in. And you just have to know that. And you just find out what God's word says on a subject and start praying that. And remind God and praise him. I preach that. Send up praise. When Moses had died and Joshua had died, and they said, we don't know what to do. So Simeon, you know, God told him, said, send up Judah. Send Judah up first. Send up some praise. And so Simeon said, I'm not fighting this battle alone. I'm going to get old Judah involved in this. I'm going to send up some praise. And when they did, God won that victory. So one of the most difficult things you'll ever do is to have faith in God when you're going through the hard places. But if your faith is really based on the word of God, you'll know God can't lie. God loves me. I'm his child. I've just got to go through this thing that I'm battling, and I've already won it because God declares the end of the matter from the beginning. God has already declared your victory. And so you just got to go through it sometimes. Amen. He said, I'll take you through the fire, through the flood, through the waters. He said, the fire will not kindle upon you. The waters will not overtake you. He said, but you got to go through it. Sometimes you just got to go through something. But you never go through them alone because Jesus was forsaken, so we would never be forsaken. So we have God's power with us. Hallelujah. Now, we know our God here at Westmoreland. We're learning more about him. And our God is a good God. And that's what Westmoreland is all about. It's about knowing God. You don't need man-made rules. You don't need religious tradition. You don't need doctrines of men. You need to know the God of the Bible. That's who you need to know. Our God is a Savior. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a good God. And I love to teach about the goodness of God. A God who can break the power of drugs. A God who can deliver from depression. A God who can heal the brokenhearted. See, that's my testimony. That's what he did for me. He healed my broken heart. He healed my broken life. He put the pieces back together. You know, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. There was a little boy standing there. He said, Mister, if all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, why didn't they take him to the king? What are you going through? Take your problems to the king. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I promise you one thing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his name is Jesus. He can put it all back together again. Take it to the king. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go on, praise him. Amen. Somebody got that one. Amen. See, our God, he heals. He can deliver you from immorality. We serve a God who can wash away your sins, who can make you pure, who can make you holy. He'll sanctify you, take the very desire for sin away, give you a whole new set of values, and all of a sudden the things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. The places you used to go, you have no desire. Somebody said, oh, pray for me. I feel like I'm go back. I said, go back to what? I mean, dear God, I've never wanted to go back. I just want to get in the press and learn more. Hallelujah. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm climbing every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. You just got to get a desire like that to know him. Amen. See, our God is big enough, what I'm trying to say, to solve all your problems. We have a good God, and people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, why in the world would God say that? Because if you do not know these seven keys that I'm preaching on Sunday morning, seven keys to reigning in life as kings, most of the people don't know those things. But if you get to know them, I promise you one thing, you will be able to rule and reign in life. God says, my people, he's not talking about sinners. You are not supposed to be destroyed. You're supposed to rule and reign as a king in life. You're to master all of life. God gave you his word. He gave you faith. He gave you a mouth, a heart, to hide his word in and a mouth to speak it. And when you start doing that, you're on your way to victory. It's so simple, people miss it. It's like tithing. People say, how in the world can you give and get? I don't know. God just set the universe up like that. It's a spiritual principle. He said, don't you lean to your own understanding. He said, in all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. I bless you going out. I bless you come in. Matter of fact, if you'll obey me, follow my commandments, keep my precepts and do them. He said, I'll bless everything you put your hands on. Let's think about it. Just get that mentality that if I touch you, you're blessed and highly favored God. Because God said he would bless everything you put your hands on. So put your hands on some stuff. I bless this business. I bless this place. I bless my home. I bless my marriage. I bless my children. I would walk in my children's room when they were growing up, and I would pray for them. And I would pray, fill them with the Holy Ghost. I command you to receive the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues in Jesus' name. I pray over them like that. Jessica, I'll never forget, she went on a little youth outing. And while she was gone, I told my wife, I said, God's going to fill her with the Holy Ghost while she's gone. She come back, she said, guess what? Guess what, Daddy? I said, God filled you with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues. She said, Daddy, you're weird. How did you know that? I said, I know it because every night, just about, I would walk in your bedroom when you were asleep, and I'd say, receive the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues in Jesus' name. See, there's life and death in the power of your tongue. And if you'll get the word of God in your heart and start decreeing it, it'll change your whole world. Amen? So, Jesus came so we could know God. Look at this right here, John 17:13. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know God, may know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He said, do you want eternal life? Look at that. Jesus came that we might know God. He said that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. You got to know God sent him. See, the Bible talks about the true God. And everybody that's talking about their God, they're not talking about the true God. And people that talk about the true God, sometimes they get things mixed up on who God is. And they hear what religion has taught, and they cannot make a shift in their brain to understand what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to the end-time church. God wants to raise up a strong people. God is not interested in religion. The Pharisees were full of religion. They read the scriptures. They went to church. They tithed. They fasted. And they rejected Jesus and died and went to hell. That's what religion will do. But if you know God and you know Jesus is the way to God, then you can know God. Hallelujah. God's a great God. See, the Bible talks about the true God. So who is the true God? Well, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The true God is. He is the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the God who said, I sent not my Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So many people live under condemnation of what they've done in the past. They feel like God could never forgive me. God could never restore me. I messed up. Everything is so messed up in my life. Well, God can do anything. All things are possible with God. And God saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, one man said. How many ever been to the guttermost? Amen. I've been there. Hallelujah. But I can tell you what, he'll save you to the uttermost. He's a great God. So God, the true God, is the God who said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So the wrath of God does not abide on us. We know the true God. We are not living under condemnation. If you know God and if you walk with God, the only reason you're not walking in a greater victory is because of your lack of understanding of God. Now, faith is a journey. And so God is not going to fix everything in your life all at once. Some people, they think God does magic. No, he doesn't. God does not do magic. God will save you instantly. But if you're going to get the blessings of God, you will have to spend some time in this word. You'll spend time in prayer. You'll meditate on the scriptures. You'll get one. The Holy Ghost will speak it to you. Say, what does that mean, Lord? And he'll feed you, and he'll feed you, and he'll feed you. Just write your thoughts down. Go back. Talk to God. He loves you. He wants to spend intimate time with you in your prayer closet. He wants to know you. Well, he knows you're lying down and you're rising up, but he wants you to know him. See, it's got to be a two-way conversation. Some people, they go to God and say, oh, God, give me this. Give me. Well, how about just read the Bible and see what he's already promised and then get to know him and then say, Father, I thank you. Your word declares this, and I believe your word. I believe you're a good God. I believe what you said. And see, the more you feed yourself the word of God, the stronger your faith will grow. And the more your faith grows, the greater threat you will be to the kingdom of darkness. See, Satan, he will do everything he can to keep you from studying your Bible, keep you out of the house of God. And so you just got to make a choice. I'm going to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it. I'm going to know God and just start looking at the principles of God. So the true God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who we want you to know. God is not the author of your trouble. Some people say, God did it. No. I had a man tell me, he said, God sends the problems to teach you something. I said, God does not do that at all. God is not the troublemaker. God's the one that solves the problem. I said, well, God sends it to I said, no, God teaches by his word. God teaches by examples there. Now, the trying of your faith is more precious to God than gold or perishing. And after you've done the will of the Father, you shall receive the promise. Do you know the promise? That's the key, knowing God. You know God through knowing Jesus and then getting filled with the Holy Ghost and knowing God through the word. But you need the Holy Ghost. See, religion says, oh, that's not for today. Well, Peter preached, he said, the promise is unto you, to your children, and to as many as are far. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the promise is to every generation. And some people, oh, that stopped. You know, I had people tell me, and one man said, he was going to a seminary. I almost said a cemetery. A seminary. And he was telling me, he said, healing stopped with the Apostle John. I said, oh, that's so pitiful. I can just see this long line of people. They're out there, and John is praying for him. John is old, not in his 90s. He's laying on the bed there, and they're bringing him. And John says, be healed. And that one's healed. He says, be healed. Another one's healed. And they just keep bringing him in there. And finally, John dies. I said, I can just see the man walk into the door and say, John's dead. There's no more healing. Well, John died, but Jesus didn't die. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So the healing still goes on and on and on and on in Jesus' name. See, God is not an old mean God that puts sickness and disease on your body and troubles and sadness in your heart. That is not God. That's the devil. And you got to understand who your enemy is. The Bible does not teach that God does those things. Religion teaches that. It does. Tradition teaches those things. They say that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That's not in the Bible. That's tradition. That's what man has said. I'm going to tell you something. When you hit a real problem in your life, and you better suit up and get so full of God that when you breathe, the devil runs the other way. When you get up, that should be a... I said, I want to be so full of God, and every morning when I get up, I want the devils to scream down the car to say, "Hey, devil, he's up again. He's up again." I say, "I am up again, and I'm coming against your kingdom in Jesus' name." God is a great God. Hallelujah. God is not the one that makes us sick. God is the one who takes all that stuff off of us that the devil's trying to put on. God will take you out of the lion's den. God will take you out of the fiery furnace. All you got to do is read the Bible and you'll see he's a good God. He wants to deliver you so you can know God and do mighty exploits. God wants you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Look at John 1:18. The Bible says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of God, or which came out of the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So no man has ever seen God. God, Jesus came out of the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. He came to make the Father known. That's why Jesus came. One of the main reasons he came was to make the Father known. He came to destroy the works of the devil, but he wanted people to know the Father. He came to reveal the Father. He came to do the works of the Father. So when you see Jesus walking through the pages of the Bible, you are seeing God in action. You are seeing the invisible God. So if you want to know what God is like, look at what Jesus did. Jesus is the physical, visible representation of the invisible God. That's a mouthful. Look at Colossians 1:15. Now, Paul is talking about Jesus here. He said, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," by Jesus, Jesus did it all. He did the entire creation. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." And look at what Paul comes back. That was John. Paul said, "For by him," Colossians 1:16, "were all things created, that in heaven, that in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You know why you should praise God? You were created to praise him. I was created to praise him. "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Unto him be glory and dominion and power throughout all ages, world without end." We're to praise him. We're to thank him that we are creatures created in God's image, created in God's likeness with God's anointing, God's power. And we're not like the rest of the world. We're covenant people. And that makes all the difference. But you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith to obtain all of these things I'm talking about tonight. Amen. Jesus said, "He that's seen me has seen the Father." He is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Thank God when he came and walked on this earth, he was God Almighty in a human body. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John said, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I don't know what these things do for you. It makes my face sore like an eagle when I even preach this kind of stuff. He said, "I came to do my Father's will." He said, "My Father and me, he doeth the work." Jesus said that you need to know that God moved through him, and the only way you can know God is through Jesus Christ. Amen. So you need to know that God, and your prayer life will never rise above your knowledge of God. I wished I could just inject this stuff into people, but God gives it to us line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And so I'm encouraging you to ask God to give you a quest, a hunger, a thirst for righteousness and to know God. Jesus said, "They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." And you cannot manufacture that yourself. Religion cannot do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And I promise you something. If you will start seeking God in your prayers, and I'm not talking about putting a burden of prayer. I'm talking about the man that delights. He meditates in his law day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law that he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's not a drudgery. It's to know God and to know him better. And we'll know him through his word. And what he's wanting to do is raise up an army in these last days, because God said, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. How in the world can you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and not be filled with the Holy Ghost? God spoke to me earlier this year. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So do you need some suddenness in your life? You need to come, and you need to come every time you get a chance to come. You don't need a religious spirit. You don't need anybody keeping you out of church. You don't need to listen to the devil. You need to listen to what God is saying. Because God says, I'm going to give you some suddenness. I got three words from God now. One of them is restoration. Do your life need restoration? Yeah, answer that to yourself. Then he said, restoration. Then he gave me the word acceleration. I'm going to put these three up there sometime. He said, I'm going to accelerate some things. I'm going to, and I was telling the story. I probably won't get to those things that I was praying in that prayer meeting. But I told the story about how, and I've told it here, how I dropped my little daughter on the asphalt. It just scarred her face, Jessica, up, tore the meat out of my hands. And I picked my child up, and I mean, blood was going everywhere. I said, oh, God, heal my baby. And I walked in the house, and Teresa said, oh, Jerry, what are we going to do? I said, believe God with me right now. And I held that baby up, and when we cleaned her off, and we put her in that crib, and I began to pray. It come out of my insides. I never heard it prayed in my life. It just come up. I said, Father, accelerate the healing in Jesus' name. Boom! The power of God hit that child. We watched the scars. We watched the bruises. We watched it go away right before our eyes. That was I prayed that many times. So God says, I'm going to do some restoration at Westmoreland. I'm going to do some acceleration. And then the last word he gave me, I'm going to do some multiplication. What do you need multiplied in your life? How about your finances? I mean, you want some multiplication from God? How about your love? How about your joy? How about your peace? God said, I'm going to multiply some things. So, and I want you to look at every one of those words. Every one of them has to do with increase. Every one of them has to do with blessing. God is a God of increase. God is a blessing God. And you just have to know that. And, you know, it seems so simple, but it is simple. Just walk with the King. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I want you to look at Mark 16:17. This is Jesus talking. The church world today, many in the church world are ignorant to this one fact right here. Look at this. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? He didn't say this sign's going to follow the preacher, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. He said, if you believe, this is what's supposed to be happening in your life. And if it is not happening, guess what? You do not know your God. You know God, you'll go to heaven when you die, but you're going to be beat all to pieces while you're here by the devil, because he's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. And religion, you know, has made a bunch of sermon listeners out of most of the church. They just listen to a sermon. Oh, that was a good sermon. I don't even care if it's good or not. I just want to get the word of God into your heart. Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence, a man's wisdom. I came in power and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, put Matthew 4:23 up there, brother. Matthew 4:23. I'm going to show you what a man of God is supposed to do right here. This is what Jesus did. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, He taught in their synagogues. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done. Kingdom preaching. Kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. And that put Matthew 9:35. That's Matthew 4. He's just chosen three of his disciples. Now he finishes the whole course and he gets them all together in Matthew chapter 9. Look at it. It's the very same thing. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in that synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He says, the harvest is truly ripe. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And then if you go to Matthew 10, he sends out 70. The next verse, he sends his disciples this time. He sends his disciples. And he gives them power over all manner of sickness and disease. And to preach the gospel, the kingdom. So that's what Jesus meant when he said, the works that I do shall you do also. That we're to be kingdom-minded. We're to get people into the kingdom. We're to teach the word of God. We're to empower God's people. Paul talks about it in Ephesians, about the equipping of the saints. My job is to equip you. That's who I am. I'm supposed to teach you. I'm supposed to make an impartation to you. Not get up here and just preach a sermon. We don't need sermons, nets, preach to Christianettes. We need the power of God so people can be changed and so you can win the victories of life. And they that do know that God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. Well, I did want to talk to you about, I'll just give them to you real quick. You need to know that God is a rewarder. Number two, you need to know that God is a blessing God. Number three, you need to know that God is a delivering God. Number four, you need to know he's a healing God. I mean, these are things that, you know, it's a sermon in itself. He's a loving God. He's a giving God. And he's the God of mercy. I went over those attributes, those seven things I just listed in a prayer meeting. And boom, the power of God fell. And that spirit went into that sanctuary that night. Because God is a good God. And if you're going through any problem, anything right now, you've got to know God is not the author of it. God loves you. God delivers. And God cares. So whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer, spend time in the Bible, and say with an open, honest heart to God, God, I want to know you. I have a real problem, God. And I want to know you. I know that I'm saved, but there are a lot of things I don't know, Lord, and I want to know you better. And I promise you that, see, that's the first law that I preached about was the law of humility. That's the first thing, is to humble yourself before God and say, God, I know you're a good God. I've got a real problem here. My life is being destroyed. And I know it's the devil. And I know you're a good God. And I'm going to know you better. Let us stand. Hallelujah. He's a great God. Amen. They that knew that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now think about it. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. And then he comes back with the remedy. He says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When I saw those two scriptures together, I preached on them before. But when I put them together, that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But if you know God, you'll be strong and do exploits. That means that everything in your life, every battle that you fight, God is going to bring you forth the victor. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
I want everybody. excited to come in and bring your burdens to the
Bless
Lord.
The Lord,
worship Him. I talked Sunday night about the power of praise. Worship Him.
Worship His
bring your burdens to the Lord. Say, Lord, this thing is too big for me.
Seem like never
it's not too big
before.
For you, God. I admit, I humble myself.
I worship
it's too big for me, God.
Name.
Worship you, Lord. I bring my problems.
Bless the
I cast
Lord
my cares upon you. I don't
soul.
Know, God, how I'm going to fix
oh,
this. You'll have to give me a miracle. I don't
worship
know, God, how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to get over this thing, God, that's trying to bring me down. But I know
oh,
you're going to do it.
My soul,
you're a
I
good God.
Your holy
I love you, Jesus. Tell him how much you love him.
Oh, yes.
He just wants.